Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. I know that many of the folks in the listening audience are familiar with some of the news that has taken place recently about what was taking place at the State Department while Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. And what I'm referring to is the news stories I saw at first, I think, on the AP, but where it said that over half of the people that she met with were also donors, big donors, to the Clinton Foundation. And I was wondering about that subject, and as more and more information was coming out as to who those people were and so forth, how much money was actually given, and all sorts of other ancillary information about that story. I was just wondering, where was the oversight? I mean, they seemed to be so autonomous in everything that they did. I was just wondering, is that normal in the State Department to have that type of autonomy? I mean, doesn't President Obama bear some responsibility for the idea that this was taking place, some sort of a pay-for-play scheme that was going on during the in the State Department, while he was president? Also, obviously, those emails are a problem as well, and that entire fiasco there. Well, it comes to find out that the oversight was kind of left undone for the period that Hillary Clinton was there. I read an article recently that was written by Liz Peek, and this was written for the Fiscal Times. That the headline says this: as millions flowed to Bill Clinton and the foundation, favors were granted. And then Liz talks about in the article about, you know, what happened to the oversight. And so I wanted to get her back on the program to tell us, you know, what she wrote about in this article. A lot of people know that Liz Peek, for many years, two decades, was on Wall Street as one of a top-ranked research analyst. She's now a columnist and a political analyst as well for the Fiscal Times, as well as for FoxNews.com, the New York Sun, and Women on the Web. Liz, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Liz, tell us what you found in your research here about the Obama presidency, and what was missing over the State Department in order to, you know, to have some sort of accountability for what was taking place.
Yeah, well, you raised the right question. Why wasn't Obama, looking over her shoulder and making sure this pay-to-play stuff wasn't going on while she was Secretary of State? And the truth is that mechanism is in place. There is meant to be an inspector general of the State Department appointed by the president. And President Obama failed to nominate, much less appoint, an inspector general for the State Department. And that post remained empty, taken up by a temporary fellow. For the 5 years beginning of Obama's time in office, and it was only after Hillary Clinton left, that a few months after she left, that he actually nominated someone, and that person was approved a couple of months later by the Senate. So, in effect, this inspector general post is responsible for rooting out fraud and waste and conflicts of interest in the State Department, just the kind of thing that would have been under the aegis of the inspector general, that is to say the donations to the foundation influencing who Hillary met with, et cetera. Also, interestingly, the inspector general is responsible for the security of embassies and consulates around the world. So you have to kind of wonder, with a guy there who no one took seriously, who didn't even decorate his office because he was only an acting inspector general and expected any day to be kind of booted from that post, you know, did somebody drop the ball on Benghazi and let the complaints and the inquiries about security basically fall between the cracks? So, you know, from the point of view of outraged citizens, and I think we should all be outraged by the apparent favors granted to not only corporations and governments, but also individuals that contributed to the Clinton Foundation and also that paid Bill Clinton whopping speaker fees, we should also be outraged that that nobody was, you know, paying attention to this. But I have talked to people who were in the State Department before the Clinton tenure, and they said there's no way that this stuff could have gone on. Clearly, it would have raised red flags. Any inspector general worth his salt would have simply shut it down immediately, which is why people are talking about the foundation should be shut down right now. If she is elected president, which might be the case, there should be no lingering obligations to anybody who right now is still donating to the Clinton Foundation. It's outrageous.
It is. Talk about an ethical conflict where you're meeting with people and then your husband is being paid these exorbitant fees. I mean, it just seems clear to anybody looking at this objectively that people just don't make millions of dollars in contributions to something and not expect something in return. And so it certainly seems very suspicious at the very least, and certainly should require some investigation into it. If there was no oversight there during this time, just happened to be no oversight on top of all this, it just seems a perfect storm that had been brought together in order to allow this type of thing to be taking place in the State House or in the State Department.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, it's interesting because, of course, Peter Schweitzer in his book Clinton Cash goes into all these conflicts of interest and so forth, and the pattern of people giving Bill Clinton big speaker fees, you know, $750,000 kind of speaking fees. Nobody is worth $750,000. And making big contributions to the foundation, and then getting help or a favor or something from the Department of State. I mean, there's a pattern here. It's very clear. It was repeated over and over and over again. And again, what is sort of astonishing is, you know, Bill Clinton talked recently about, okay, we'll stop accepting foreign donations and donations for corporations if Hillary's elected. Well, that was like a red flag out there to everybody. The odds are Hillary will be elected. She's ahead in the polls. Most people give her better than 50-50 odds of winning the presidency. So the door is open, folks, for another 2 months. And Bill Clinton just invited you to make your contributions now before that door closes.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It is really, you know, if they really wanted to avoid conflict, they should shut it down now. I mean, what's to keep them from doing that? Nothing except avarice.
You know, the word must have gotten out somehow to all these different players that basically the State Department could be bought. That if you came and you paid enough money, you would get the opportunity to sit down and make your case with Hillary Clinton, and then something would be done. You would get something for your money. Somehow that message you know, was sent out to all these different players that got involved in this. Do you agree?
Oh, look, I think it's totally obvious. And by the way, I have a friend who I am not able to name who has a business that would have been helpful in the reconstruction of Haiti. And I will abbreviate this story, but it is a true story, but a very decent guy. He emailed the Clinton Foundation to say, I have something that could help you. I am willing to give it to you at cost because I know that you're down there working in Haiti trying to put the country back together. And he got a nice email back saying, we're very interested. Please donate $5 million to the Clinton Foundation.
Wow. Not even that obvious about it, you know, that you had to make some sort of a donation to get the wheels going here.
Yes. Unfortunately, he has changed his company server since this happened, so he is searching for those emails. in which case I think he might be willing to go public with it. But I don't, look, are you kidding? I mean, the Clintons have all these activities, all these big sort of events. And by the way, when you talk to companies about why they donated to the Clinton Foundation, it's, oh, it did so much good. People should know. The Charity Navigator has refused to rate this charity. The Better Business Bureau would not sign off on it in 2013. In 2013, 85% of the expenditures of the Clinton Foundation did not go to program. It went to big splashy events that basically put Bill and Hillary back in the spotlight, you know, made them kind of front page figures around the world and brought in the kind of people that are now donating and have been donating to her campaign and to her foundation. And by the way, it wasn't just the pay-to-play stuff at the State Department that was really inappropriate. Also, as you may know, Huma Abedin and others, Jake Sullivan and others, mm-hmm. were on the payroll of the State Department and also on the payroll of the foundation and also the for-profit company Teneo that the Clintons own and run. So, I mean, that right there would never have been allowed by most inspector generals.
No, this wouldn't certainly wouldn't be allowed in the private sector right away.
Right.
Somebody would talk about the idea of the conflict of interest. I mean, it's so glaring. And yet in the State Department, this just seemed to be just the way the game was played. And as we're pointing out, during this time, there just happens to be no inspector general. Just how uncommon was that for there to be no inspector general over the State Department? Is that unprecedented?
Well, it's unprecedented since Eisenhower's time. Eisenhower actually created this office of the inspector general for state because after the war, there were, you know, tens of millions of dollars sloshing around for aid for Europe and stuff. And he figured somebody might want to get their paws on it. So he put somebody in the role, created that position to make sure that there wasn't stuff going amiss in the State Department. And basically every president since has appointed that person early in his tenure. And by the way, every other federal agency for which there is a presidentially appointed inspector general had one. I mean, Obama, it isn't like no one was paying attention. This was not an oversight. This was part of Hillary's deal. She would serve, but she didn't want anybody as a watchdog, you know, sitting next to her.
It's
an appalling story.
Oh, honestly. It is. It is. I can't believe that there's not more outrage over this. And certainly this should be something. Personally, if I was Donald Trump, this would be in every speech. I imagine we're going to see things like this come up when the debates take place. But this is just...
I hope so.
Yeah, I don't think the American people really realize the level of ethical, questionable activities and lack of oversight and so forth that was taking place. Now, in addition to this, you talked about, you know, the fact that with Benghazi, we have the emails, of course. That would have been something that would have been pointed out as well. And then Huma and, you know, the fact that she's on multiple payrolls and so forth. Wasn't she also granted that position without going through the proper channels to be hired that way? Was that another issue revolving around...
It could well have been. To be honest, there have been so many things like this that my head begins to spin. I mean, I was thinking, you know, Hillary Clinton hasn't given a press conference for 270 days now. And I was thinking about that. And I'm sure, first of all, she knows that the press corps doesn't like her. I mean, they may be supporting her and their bosses are supporting her, but they don't really like her because she's demeaning to them, insults them on the campaign trail and so forth. But I also think if I were Hillary Clinton, I'd be scared to death to have people start asking me questions because I've told so many lies. Mm. She has told so many lies now about the foundation, about her emails, and she does get tripped up. She does short circuit, to use her words.
Yes.
And who wouldn't? Who wouldn't do that? I mean, I really think it must be extremely challenging for her to kind of remember what she's claimed about various things.
Mm.
And everything she has claimed has turned out to be a lie. So, you know, now we're waiting for another what, 15,000 emails to come out or something. Mm-hmm. If there's no way she's going to have any kind of press gathering between now and the election, she can't afford to do that.
And wasn't it just recently that we heard that her schedule of everybody that she met with, apparently, I think that's what it's referring to, would not be released until after the election? So, I mean,
they didn't like the results of the AP going through her calendar to date, what they've had of it, which showed, as you talked about in your introduction, that more than half of her meetings, not including meetings with other heads of state or other secretaries of state and so forth, over half of them had to do with Clinton Foundation donors, which really just does not pass the smell test at all.
No.
So my guess is the more of that that comes out, the more it will confirm that her attentions were riveted on her own political future and her financial well-being.
Mm-hmm. You write in the
And after all, you know, when people talk about and wonder and challenge her on what did she accomplish as Secretary of State, well, she can't really talk about the fact that one of the things she accomplished was to help UBS with their tax problems, in return for which they paid $1.5 million to Bill for a speaking engagement, and also donated, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and then millions to various Clinton Foundation initiatives. That doesn't look so hot, right? So when you ask Hillary Clinton, what'd you do while you were Secretary of State? Honestly, it's a blank sheet.
Yeah.
And the reason is she spent the only thing she can point to is Myanmar and having helped to open up that country, which unfortunately since then has begun to close up again. And then all this stuff that she did for donors.
Right. You put in the article, too, that even more disturbing are the 1,100 foreign donations that were received while Clinton was in office through the Clinton Foundation's Canadian affiliate.
Yeah.
But never reported. There was another way to get the money.
That's right. And that was, those donations were meant to be reported just as the ones through the domestic foundation. That was part of her deal. She signed a letter with Valerie Jarrett and then also a memorandum of understanding, which laid out the rules. Now, don't make any mistake here. Obama knew what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what the Clintons were like. That's why he insisted on certain rules of the game, but she basically just ignored. And one of those rules was that the Canadian subsidiary was meant to be treated just like the domestic one.
Mm.
And it was not.
But those were just, you know, basically verbal agreements between them. It wasn't nothing written in stone and nothing that had any real teeth to it, right?
No, there were written agreements. That's my point. I mean, she actually had to sign a letter with Valerie Jarrett, which basically said that...
Oh, that's what I mean. Yeah.
She would not engage in any activities as Secretary of State that would be that would influence either her or her husband's financial well-being.
Mm.
You know, give me a break. That's exactly what she did.
Yeah, that's what I meant with the just an agreement between them, but they didn't. I mean, there's already laws and ethical standards and so forth that would have been put in place by the Inspector General had there been one, that you wouldn't need some sort of a, you know, a letter of agreement. Hey, you're not going to try to use this for a pay for play scheme here or to aggrandize yourself, you know, with all these outrageous speaking fees and these types of things. Well, I hope, let me say this, Liz, thank you, first of all, for writing about this, because is there anybody else covering this? You know, this should be front page news.
It came out maybe a year ago in the Wall Street Journal, but they didn't pursue it. And, you know, look, again, it's one of those things where everyone can say, oh, gosh, you know, it just didn't get done. What an accident. What a surprise.
Yeah.
There's nothing accidental in Clinton land. I mean, it's all well planned out. It's all planned out ahead of time.
Mm.
And actually, the reason I stumbled upon it was because I was thinking, you know, why isn't Obama being held accountable for any of this stuff? I mean, he still has positive approval ratings. That shouldn't be the case.
Right.
There is nothing that's gone right under Obama, including the economy, including our foreign affairs. Why does he continue to get a pass? And I will leave that up to you.
Yeah, he just seems to skate right above it. Doesn't seem to affect his approval rating whatsoever. And I don't know how he has pulled that off. But again and again and again, that's the case. Liz, thanks so much for joining us today and for writing this article. I hope it gets spread across the internet that people find out, you know, what is taking place here. I'll give the information about where to find it to our listeners here in just a minute, but thanks once again for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. That was Liz Peek once again, and as I promised, I said I would give the websites where you can read this for yourself. It's just startling when you read through it, coupled with all of the other information that has come out. I mean, the ethical, the lack of ethical standards, and the outright, what very much seems to be outright criminal activity that was taking place is just startling when you think this person is running for the president of the United States. And then you have, people just, news agencies that are just basically looking the other way. Believe me, if this was a conservative, this would be headline news, right? Every last detail of it would be made known unto you. But as it is now, these things come and go, and there's so many of them that I think that average Americans are having trouble keeping up, but they should just know it's common knowledge now. It's a fact that these things were taking place. This is not Clinton conspiracy theory. This is a fact that these types of things were taking place during the Secretary of State stint that Hillary Clinton was involved in. You know, I wondered, you know, why did she take that? I thought, well, you know, she can use that then to, stay in the news and so forth and prepare for the White House run that we all knew was coming. But it appears that during that time there was a lot of money to be made, and the Clintons certainly made an awful lot of money during that period of time. People were paying millions upon millions of dollars in order to have access. You don't pay that for nothing. I mean, I think there's the common sense approach to this, right? People are going to want something for that kind of money. Now we need to find out, what did they get? What actually did they get for that kind of money that they paid? As Liz mentioned, when you look at the foundation, they're not able to say, well, the foundation was doing such great work, we just had to be involved in it. And so it was easy for us to free up the millions of dollars that went to the foundation. No, actually, when you look at the foundation, you tell me off the top of your head, oh, what was the great work that the Clinton Foundation has been involved in? Go ahead, Gary, cue the crickets, right? There's nothing that comes to mind. You can't say, well, think about all that great work they did in what? Where? There's just nothing that you can point to as to what was done. It was just basically to pad the pockets of the Clintons once again. And they've been doing this for a long, long time. They're very good at it. Remember when Bill Clinton was in the White House and they actually, you know, were basically renting out the Lincoln bedroom so that if you were a big-time donor to Bill Clinton and the Democratic Party, then you could go stay in the Lincoln bedroom at the White House. So they were basically selling, you know, this is the selling of the State Department. They were basically selling aspects of the White House during that time. They know how to monetize these things, right? So they take their position and they monetize it so that they can do very well, very, very well in the end here. And the audacity then for Hillary Clinton to say that they were broke when they left the White House, well, that might have been her estimation, but she thought about it afterwards as to how a lot of money could be made. Even if that was her assessment, she thought about another scheme that a lot of money could be made. And they've done very, very well during those times. The article is found at www.thefiscaltimes.com. That's www.thefiscaltimes.com. The headline to the article there is entitled, "As Millions Flowed to Bill Clinton and the Foundation, Favors were granted," and those favors that Liz Peek is referring to in the article are favors that were granted to those who came and paid a certain amount of money in the terms of a donation in order to receive something from the Clinton State House.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.